Welcome to Grace Tabernacle. We invite you to join us on the journey to transform people into contagious, wholehearted worshipers and followers of Christ. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful toward achieving that goal in your life. Now, let's join in the fellowship of Grace Tabernacle for a relevant message from our pastor, Gary Washburn, that we believe will lead you closer to the heart of God.
I want to talk to you about a very simple subject the Lord laid on my heart, and it's trust. Trust. The greatest challenges of your life will be connected to trusting God. He has engineered so many things in your life where you will have to trust Him, and as you trust Him, He will reveal things about Himself to you. In order for you to trust God, the Lord knows we have to have some circumstances so that our place is a place of trust. We need to trust God. I don't know if you realize that, but that we really need to trust God. We never need to get to a place in life where we don't need to trust. We need to trust God. God has engineered and created this life so that you would need to trust Him. Everything really boils down to this. It's a matter of trusting God or not. You know, the Bible says that the only thing that pleases God, the only thing that pleases Him, is faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently trust Him. Faith is the thing that pleases God, which is trust. Faith is just simply trust. Lord, I trust You. I trust Your Word. Or if you're honest and you don't trust the Lord, to be honest and start there and say, God, I'm really having a hard time trusting You, and I don't know why. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. When we trust God with something, we're blessed. Our life is blessed because we trust. And God blesses it. He blesses faith. He blesses us when we take the adventure of trusting Him. Now, we need to understand sometimes things, and God knows how we are, and we always, we many times tell God, I need to understand this, God, before I step out and do it. But with God, understanding doesn't come before faith. Understanding does not come before trust. In fact, the truth is, one of the great hindrances that's hindering many of you right now in your life is this need to understand things before you trust, before you take the step of faith, before you obey. And as long as you are in that mode and say, you know, I'm not going to step out there because I don't understand that. I don't understand enough yet. And you don't take the step of trusting God in that particular area, as long as that's happening in your life, you're not moving forward. Your life is stagnant. And God never intended for your life to be stagnant. He intended for your life to be an adventure. An adventure of trusting God in situations where you see Him come through for you, and it absolutely causes awe and wonder in your life. For example, there's so many things. Even just for the example of prayer. Prayer is a mystery. When we pray, like Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7 tells us to pray, don't be anxious about anything. Don't worry about anything. Don't have any care, concern about anything, but instead pray. And I hear some of you right now say, oh yeah, right, yeah, that's really going to work. Well, this is what God says. And you either trust Him or you don't. He says when you pray properly, according to Philippians 4, 6, and 7, that the result of that will be a peace that, come on, passes all your understanding. And see, if you're on this side saying, well, God, explain it to me first how this works. Help me understand it so I can take a step of faith. You'll never take a step of faith. See, I like what Bill Johnson said. He said, if you want the peace that passes understanding, then you got to give up your right to understand. That's true. See, not understanding is okay. God knows that we don't understand. He knows that. Not understanding is okay, but restricting your spiritual life to only do what you understand is not okay. God has ordained that you and I take steps of faith, trusting God beyond our understanding. God is worthy of your trust. And he has designed for you to take steps of trust. Now, prophecy. If you've ever had a prophecy or someone prophesy over you, that's a gift, spiritual gift given to the church. God gives inspired speech to someone to speak something into your life that is not there yet. And it's given to encourage you. And it's a mysterious gift. The Bible says it's a mystery. But prophecy, you'll never, if you wait to understand it and say, well, you know, before I step out and believe this, I've got to understand it first, then you'll never understand it. You'll miss it. Are you with me? Speaking in tongues is another thing. It's a gift of the church. It's given to the believer. It's available to any believer who wants it. If you want to be able to pray in tongues as a believer, that gift is available to you, by the way. But it's the same principle. It operates by faith. And if you say, well, I don't understand it, that's understandable. It's a mystery. What God calls you to do is not understand it. He calls you to believe and accept it, you see. And so you got to see how understanding so often gets in the way of us being able to take steps of faith and trust God. You're just not going to understand a lot of things about God. And if you wait till you understand it all or somebody comes along and tries to explain it to your liking, you're going to miss out on so many things. Everything, bottom line, with God comes down to trust. You either trust Him or you don't. After I've done preached my last sermon, preached 40 years or whatever it is, however long God gives me to preach, after I've done exhausted everything I can to try to encourage and explain and teach and preach people how to do it, the bottom line of all of it comes down to trust. You either trust or you don't. You either trust God or you don't trust God. And when the day that you were born from above, when you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you began a trust walk with God. It was that's where you started. You started in faith. You started in a trust walk that He was with you. And then you're called to make progress. When we don't trust Him, we stay right where we are spiritually. And we stay in our comfort zone. If you live in your comfort zone, then you're miserable because that's not where you're supposed to be. And if there's anybody here today who's born from above and you're just miserable about your life, it's because you're living in your comfort zone, probably. And you haven't taken steps of obedience that God's been prompting you and leading you to do. We're made for adventures with God. And we have incredible promises in this book. But the promises must be believed and acted on and trusted in. Now, a scripture you're probably familiar with, and it's a good one for this particular purpose. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, I want you to say it with me. Trust. Come on, no. Let's do this better. Let's do this with confidence. This is the word of God to you. Come on, let's say it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. That's a promise from Almighty God. That's a promise from the Most High. This is God telling you, this is what I want from your life. I want you to trust me with all your heart. This is what He's calling you to do. Every one of us. Everybody in this room, this is a scripture that God is speaking to us right now. This is wherever you are, whatever your next step of obedience is, whatever your next step of trust is, this is what God wants from you. Trust me with all your heart. Don't try to figure it out. Don't lean into that. Lean into me. Press on into me. I have a good question for you. I asked myself this question this week. Lord, what is it that's holding me back from giving you 100% of my life? That's a good question. Why don't you pause right now and just pray that and pray it right into the Lord and just talk to God face to face. Just say it right now. Lord, what is it that's holding me back from giving you 100% of my life? Lord, what is it that's keeping me from the dream that you have for me? What is it, God? And if you'll listen and be still, more than likely, the answer comes back to one of two things, and they're related. One is some fear in your life. You're afraid. And God knows you're afraid. And the other is trust. What is he wanting? He's wanting you to trust him in some area of your life that you have a hard time of letting go, a hard time of forgiving, or a hard time of whatever it may be. It's something in your life. You're having a hard time trusting God with your future. A lack of trust, an area of fear. And believe it or not, this has actually been revealed in your life through a variety of ways, but there's one primary way on earth where we reveal so clearly, it is so obvious that even a child can see it, where we lack trust in God, and it's while we're here on earth. There's only one particular area, and God deals with that. And I'd like you to go to Mark chapter 10, Mark chapter 10, and we're going to see some scripture about this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 17, and as Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and began asking him, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God." He's trying to help him see who he was talking to. And he went on to say, "You know the commandments, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, defraud, honor your father and mother." And he says, "Well, teacher, I've done all that. I've done all that since I was a youth. I've been taught right. I was raised in church. I've done this. I've done that. But I can tell there's something still missing in me. I can tell that there's something that's lacking in me. What is it that I can have this life I've been hearing you talk about?" And looking at him, verse 21, Jesus felt a love for him. Jesus loved this young man. And he could see right through him. And he said to him, "There's one thing you lack." If Jesus said, "There's one thing you lack," would you lean into him to hear what it was? Well, here's what he said. He said, "Go sell everything you've got. Give it away. Give it to the poor. And you'll have treasure in heaven. And you follow me." That's what he told him. Just go get rid of all your stuff and come follow me. But notice, I want you to really remember, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Here's love looking right into his eyes, looking right into his heart, seeing what he needs. He's answering this man's question, but this man doesn't agree with it. This man can't find it in his heart to really trust Jesus. He can't find it in his heart to trust perfect love. And Jesus loved him when he said this to him. He wasn't trying to hurt him. He was trying to get him to trust him. See, one thing you lack. What is it, Lord, that's keeping me back from giving 100% of my life to you, from following you? There's one thing you lack. What is it, Lord? I want to know what it is. If you're a business owner, your business either you either own your business or your business owns you. Your possessions either possess you or you possess them. Jesus says to this young man, because he looked right into his heart and he knew what the problem was, he's putting his finger on the problem. And he's telling the man, this is what you need. I'm answering your question. Go get rid of all your stuff and come follow me. Now, Jesus didn't say that to everybody. The demoniac that he delivered the demons out of, he told, he wanted to follow Jesus. Lord, I'll follow you anywhere you go for what you've done. He said, no, I want you to go back into your own hometown and minister. But this guy, he said, I want you to follow me. Wonder what would have happened. We don't even know this guy's name. He's just known as a rich man. If he would have done what Jesus asked him to do, you think you'd know his name? You probably would have had another book in the Bible with his name on it he wrote. There's no telling. What adventure. Here is the Lord, the Most High, God himself in the flesh saying, I want you to get rid of this stuff. I want you to follow me with your life. The call of a lifetime. This is what you're asking. I'm telling you. What an offer from Jesus. Maybe he'd have written another gospel. We don't know. But we know this. We don't even know his name today. But we know his character. And unfortunately, that's all we need to know, because we can identify with a lot of his character. He put too much trust in things and in money, in business and possessions. And notice in verse 22, it says, but when this man heard these words of Jesus, his face fell. His countenance fell. I mean, immediately he was grieved in his heart, for he was one that owned much property. In other words, he was saying, I can't do that. I can't trust enough to do that, because I got too much. I can't trust you. And it says, and he went away. He didn't stay there to hear the rest of Jesus' teaching. He left too soon. It's like people who get mad at the preacher and they walk out. Seen that many times. And not everybody gets up and walks out, in case there's somebody who's got to be at an appointment today. And sometimes don't think we're not going to be thinking, there you are. No, we don't know. But I have had some they were making a statement and they'd get up and walk out when you're preaching, you know. It didn't bother me. Didn't bother Jesus. He kept right on. He went away grieved, because he said in his heart, I can't do this. And he might have went away mad. We don't know. He might have been saying, well, that's not right. God wouldn't ask me to do that. He might have went away angry. I mean, we just don't know. But one thing we do know, he went away grieved. And he left way too soon. He should have hung around and heard the rest of what the Lord had to say. Maybe he said in his heart, but there's just no way I can do that. Certainly God wouldn't have me do something that I cannot do. And the bottom line was, he could not trust Jesus with riches. He couldn't trust Jesus with his life. I can't do that. And then we look through the rest of the verses there. Jesus kept right on teaching. He's got his disciples. And he said, how hard it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. How hard. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. How hard it is for people to enter heaven, because they can't see it, they can't touch it, they can't feel it, they can't smell it, they can't taste it right now. And so it's hard for them to trust God. How hard it is for people to trust God whom they can't see. They'd rather trust in things that they can see. How hard it is. And then it says in verse 24 that Jesus' disciples were amazed at his words. Lord, you say it's hard for people to get into heaven. You say it's hard for a rich man. And in verse 26, it says they were astonished. So once they were amazed at his words. And next it says they were astonished. What were they astonished at? They said it. They asked the question. They said, well, Lord, well, then who can be saved? I mean, you make it sound like it's impossible. It's who can be saved? And he said, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And then they had another question for him. They said, well, Lord, we're the disciples you called us. We left everything to follow. We left our houses, we left our lands, we left our families, we left everything in order to follow you, Lord. We left everything to follow you. Everything. That was actually a complaint. We've left everything, Lord. Now, what about us? We've left everything to follow you. And here's what the Lord had to say about that in verse 29. He said, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Now note something here. Jesus said, for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake. Not for anything else, but for Jesus' sake, if you've left it, if you've given it for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake, there's reward in it, see. There's blessing in it. And you can receive up to 100 times back for what you've given when you do it with the right motive for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake. This is what he says. He says, you ain't got to worry about a thing if you've left this, if you sacrificed this, if you've done this. If it's for my sake and for the gospel's sake, there's great reward in it, in this age, in this lifetime. But notice, with persecutions. What's this? This persecution comes from our adversary, the devil. The adversary is known as the devil. The word devil means adversary. And Jesus had the devil against him. And when you follow Jesus, you're going to have the devil against you. God's adversary is your adversary. And so he's saying our adversary will persecute you and try to shut you down when you give for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake. He will oppose you. But if you stand in faith, you can expect God's blessing is increase in your life in this age, in this lifetime. Nobody. You ain't going to outgive God. Nobody. Nowhere. No how. So, okay. Well, what's the purpose of God prospering us? Why should God prosper us in this life? What's the purpose of it? So we can get the job done. What's the job? For Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake, to get the gospel, to get Jesus' gospel, the same gospel that saved you and saved me, out into the whole world so everybody has the opportunity to hear what you've heard. That's why. That's why. That's why we follow him. That's why we obey him. So God prospers us with material things, money, possessions, and things to just bless us, but also for Jesus' sake and for the gospel's sake. Because there's nothing more important while we're here on this earth than Jesus' name and the gospel of Jesus going out into the world. There's no greater priority. There's no greater thing. So, back to this rich man who left. He got grieved when he heard Jesus tell him what he asked. What should I do? He said, you do that, you follow me, you got it. He walked away, And when he walked away, he didn't hear everything that Jesus was saying. If that rich man would have hung around, if he would have heard and said, look, you ain't ever going to outgive God. You give away all of your stuff and you come follow me. Don't you think that I'm going to take care of everything that you have need of? Oh, yeah. Probably one of the greatest days of your life is when you let go of that and you start trusting me. And watch how I do things. But as long as these treasures have your heart, as long as these things grip your heart, then you'll never be able to follow me. It's a hindrance to you. And so, the rich man's problem is our problem. Trusting God with our material things and with our money. That's our problem. That's his problem. That's our problem. Now, we don't have a problem with that once we get to heaven, but we have a problem with it while we're here. And God told this rich man what to do. And the man could have trusted Jesus to do what he said. Now, here's the ironic thing to me for a Christian. We can trust God to save our soul, but we can't trust him with our money. That makes no sense at all. What's more valuable? I said, what's more valuable? So you can trust God with your soul, but you can't trust him with your money? Sure is quiet in here. Sure is quiet. Oh, I am. Oh, I am. God gave me this word. He told me this is the problem of the church. The church. He didn't say the problem of outsiders or people out in the lost world. He said this is the problem of the church. They're afraid to trust me. They're afraid to let go. They're afraid that I'm not going to keep my word. And so this rich man's problem's our problem. It doesn't make any sense at all to say, well, I can trust God with my soul, but, boy, I can't trust him with my possessions. See, God has got a divine strategy. He has already set it in motion. He gave it a long time ago, long before the law and all that. And God's divine strategy is for us to learn to trust him with possessions and particularly money. Again, money is the only time you're going to deal with money is while you're here on earth. So what are we supposed to do? Well, we're supposed to trust the Lord with all of our heart. That includes the area of our money and our finances. No part of our life is off limits to the Lord, you see. So how do we trust the Lord in this particular area? The same way God was challenging this rich man, he also challenges us. The same way. No difference. Everything we own belongs to the Lord anyway. I mean, we say it, but is it really true? Well, you need to prove it. You need to prove it. And the only place in the Bible where God says to prove him is in the area of handling money. You don't test God in any other area, but this is the only place he said, I double dog dare you to test me. Prove me. Prove me. He says it. And so how do we do that? God's divine strategy about trusting him with our money is this. Number one, that we give to God right off the top, the first 10% of our income. Not a tenth, but the first 10%. Because God deserves the first place. You may not have ever heard this before, but it's called the tithe. Now, the folks that have been around for a long time, in church for a long time, they were taught tithing. Tithing is you give God the first 10%. Of your income, right off the top. And you do it to honor him. It's a part of your worship. It's an act of worship. It's an act of trust. And you should give that tithe to the local church for Jesus' sake and the gospel's sake, because the local church where you're getting fed spiritually, maybe where you got saved spiritually, maybe where you got ministered to spiritually, is an embassy that God has put down here on this earth as representative of the kingdom of God to get the gospel out to the whole world. That's how God does it. He plants churches. He sends missionaries. He calls preachers. He calls people into the ministry. He does it to get the gospel out. And the gospel is going out this morning through the church. All around here, churches preaching the gospel. And God finances that while they're on the earth through the people who honor God through the tithes. That's God's plan. God's plan. And the bottom line is, look, you either trust him or you don't. You either trust him or you don't. The tithe means 10%. When you get your paycheck, however you get your paycheck, your once a month check, your weekly check, whatever, that first check you write, to me, this is how I believe, that first check is a matter of principle. Before you pay any bills whatsoever, that first check I write out to the church. And in the memo down at the bottom, I put honoring God, because that's what I'm doing. It's an act of worship. I'm worshiping right then when I'm writing that check. I am trusting God with that first 10%, my tithe, that he's told me, because that's the strategy. And measures are important. They matter to God. That's the number he gave us in his word. That's the number he gives. But motives matter to God too. See, the heart is for Jesus' sake and for the sake of the gospel. Now, this is a covenant. I don't know if you realize that. But a covenant of finances. Anytime you come to a place of you're trusting God, you're in that covenant with him. And Lord, I'm in covenant with you by giving the tithes that you tell me to give, that if I'll do this, that you'll help me supernaturally with the rest of my issues and finances and so forth in my life. If I do my part, then I can trust God to do his part. And so he's going to help me. So I'm in covenant with him. If I put him first, the top 10%, he'll help me against my adversary who is going to persecute me. My adversary is going to persecute me financially because he does not like it when I'm trusting God in the area of my finances. Now, he's going to persecute me, but God's going to help me. See, and you know, one thing you may not realize, but the devil probably going to persecute you anyway, even if you don't tithe. But he'll persecute you more whenever you start trusting God in this particular area and you're moving into trust. Because God will show you things supernaturally that you need to experience it. Now, I know at first for some of you hearing today, you're like the rich man. You're grieved in your heart. Your countenance has already fallen. You say, well, I didn't come to church to hear about money today. Well, it's not about money. It's about trust. You're making it about money. I'm making it about trust. It's about trusting God. And if that's the area where you're not trusting God, then that's the area where God wants you to go. See, I know this may sound impossible. Like some of you say, well, there's just no way. I mean, we can't make ends meet now. And you say, you know, I just don't see how we could ever, I don't see how we could do it. Then the problem is you slipped over out of faith and into understanding. You're back over here saying, well, you know, if I could understand how this was going to work out and God's going to, then I would do it. No, you'll never do it. You'll never. It requires trust. It requires faith. Listen, God doesn't need your money. He don't need my money. So why does he want us to do this? Trust. Because we need to learn to trust him. We need to learn to trust him rather than in money, rather than how much money we got in the bank or how much income we got left or whatever. We need to learn to trust the God who gave us everything. Amen. And if you wait to understand how you're going to do this, you'll miss out. God wants everybody. Regardless, if you're a widow living off of a Social Security check, if you're a homeless person and you don't have two nickels to rub together, if you're a billionaire, it doesn't matter to God. He wants everybody, wherever you are, to learn to trust him. Amen. Trust him. Amen. And this is where the church puts on the brakes and says, hold on now. I don't know about all that. See, if there's a billionaire here today and he was to put $1 million check in the offering, we'd take it. As long as there were no strings attached. But that wouldn't please God one bit. You know why? That's only 1%. There's no faith in that. A billionaire would have to give, what is it? 10 million. Thank you, number man. 10 million. And that would please God. He hadn't taken the first step of faith to write a $1 million check. Are you seeing how this is proportional from where you are? That's why it doesn't matter what you make, what your income is, or what it's not. It doesn't really matter. It's all about trusting God. It's all about faith. Are you with me? Well, preacher, should all the tithe be to the local church, or should I give to some other parachurch organizations? My opinion is that I believe the tithe should go to the storehouse, the local church. And offerings above and beyond that could go to missions and parachurch organizations as the Lord leads you. But your local church is the place you get fed. It's your local mission. It's your local embassy that God has placed here. And He has said, how I'm going to provide for this and pay the bills and all the stuff that needs to get done here is I'm going to have my people follow my divine strategy, and that's they're all going to tithe. I mean, that's what God expects. That's what God expects. Amen. I think so. So when we agree with God and we begin to give to His local church that first 10%, now we're proving God. No, because I remember when I first heard about tithing, I thought there ain't no way in this world I'm going to be able to do that. I think I was probably a corporal at that time in the Marine Corps, not hardly making anything. And I'm thinking, there just ain't no way. I never heard of such a thing. 10% of my income? I don't have 10% left over. That's the point. God doesn't want the leftovers. He wants the first 10%. And you give Him that first 10%, and then you're proving to yourself that you trust Him. And I remember when we began to do that, we had a lot of challenges. And then God started showing us, look, I look back and think after the first year and thought, my Lord, how could we have done that? God, we've given 10% of our whole income. And look at this. We're better off now than we were when we weren't given 10%. We proved God. God's faithful. God is trustworthy. And tithing proves to me that I'm trusting God. It proves to me I'm trusting Him. I've made a quality decision to live supernaturally by faith, by trusting the Lord with all my heart. And first in my finances, I honor Him. Proverbs 3, verse 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your substance, your possessions, your material goods, your money. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your vats shall burst out with new wine. In other words, new revelation will come. Everything that you need to have a successful journey in this life, to do the things God's called you to do, God will provide for. I'm looking for some people that believe that. I'll just turn my back. And I just wonder how many of you already have lived by that principle and you found that's true. That is absolutely true. I'd stake my life on it. I know it's true that God is faithful. He's faithful. When He calls us to do something, He gives us the grace to do it. And He's only trying to get us to the next level of trust so that we'll do that. So I want to agree with God. Now, some people trust in the God of money more than they trust in God. I know I did it one time. There was a time in my life I trusted in the God of money. I didn't know there was such a thing, but I trusted in money as my security rather than trusting in God. And God had to deal with me. It's too long a story to tell you right now, but there are several instances where He had to allow some things to just absolutely not work for me and cave in so I could learn that I couldn't put my trust in uncertain riches, but in my trust I was to put in the faithfulness of God. See? And I had to learn that. And I think I had to learn it sometimes the hard way. And the Lord knows what you're trusting in. Now, many of you know, and you've read my book, the chapter in there I wrote about how my mom won money playing a lottery. And she gave that money to the church. Now, I want to say something to you about that. I want you to listen. And I talked to my mom about this already. God did not lead my mom to play the lottery. He did not. The lottery is the world system, which is ruled by the Antichrist, based on luck and chance. And there are some people that put their trust in luck and chance more than in God. Now, I'm not condemning my mom. What she did, girls had a pool in the, and they bought a ticket each week and they won. But she determined to give all that money to the church, which was a good thing. But I don't want anybody to ever go out of here thinking that you should go play the lottery and pray, oh, God, help me win it, because if I win it, I'll give money to the church. No, no, no. That's not God's way. That's not His way. Don't you think the God who created the heavens and earth, if He wanted to dump $1 trillion on us in a moment, He could do it in a heartbeat? He's not a God of luck and chance. Now, if you're a believer, you should not be playing the lottery. Amen. Oh, my. I heard some toes crunch on that going, oh, oh. Why? Because you don't believe in luck and chance. Well, I believe that I'm praying that God. No, 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 no. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Okay. Now, if God told you to play the lottery, which He's not going to do, because it's contrary to His word, contrary to His character, then it wouldn't be gambling. But otherwise, you're gambling. You're believing in the God of mammon, the God of money, the God of luck, and God of chance. Now, don't come to me afterwards and tell me all your lottery stories and all. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm just telling you, I believe from conviction, you should not do that. And I repent in any way before all of you if in any way my influence has encouraged you to go play the lottery because I wrote that chapter. No, I'm just telling you what happened. I don't believe that's God's way. He doesn't need it. He doesn't need it. And the God of mammon or money or material things is ruled by the Antichrist. It's ruled by the Antichrist, the world system. God doesn't use the world Antichrist system to fund His church. He's called us to a much higher level than that, not luck and chance, but faith and trust in God alone. He is faithful. And if we'll do what He said to do, He'll take care of it and He'll finance the kingdom of God all around the world just like He's doing right now and meet every need that needs to be met, and the gospel will be preached for Jesus' name's sake. That's really what it's about. That's what it's about. So I just want you to know that, you know, if you believe in luck and chance, then you're not believing in God. He didn't call you to luck and chance. He called you to faith. Trust. And there are people, maybe some here today, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. There's no judge. What you do is between you and God. But as a preacher of the truth, I must tell you the truth. Some of you will go down and spend almost your whole paycheck down there at the lottery buying lottery tickets and scratch-offs rather than trust God with just the 10% that He called you to give. If you're a believer, I don't know what you're believing, but you're not believing the Word of God. And you need to repent of that and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I've trusted in things I could see rather than trusting in You. Maybe there's somebody here today who doesn't have enough to make ends meet. I know what that's like. And most of you know what that's like. There have been times in your life, wow. And preacher, are you telling us that the poor widow in the church down there that's living off of Social Security, not even enough to pay her medicine, not even enough to take care of her groceries at the end of the month. Are you telling us that you are telling her that she needs to tithe the first 10% of her income to God? You better believe I am. And she needs to do it more than anybody because she needs to live at a higher level of trust than the billionaire. She got to trust. God, I need intervention. I need help. And I'm depending on You, and I'm proving You. And that's the fact that I'm still here proving you giving that first 10% of my paycheck every week is evidence that God is faithful and he takes care of me. Yeah, absolutely. 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 Tithing is one way we trust God. We honor God. I'm not ashamed about preaching this message to you. Don't go out of here saying, well, what did they preach on today? They preached about tithing and money. No, no, no. You missed the whole thing. I told you at the very beginning, I'm about trusting God. You either do or you don't. Money is just one of the objects that God uses. It may not be money with you. It may be possessions. It may be other things. It may be time. I don't know. But no, it's not about my message about money. It just happens to be the object that we have here on the earth that we can prove God with. So some of you walk away grieved over this message because you say, well, there's just no way we can do that. I can't do that. I'm already behind in my bills. I'm going to ask you to do one thing. Just get along with God today and talk to him about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do about this? Listen for him. He'll lead you. He'll speak to you, whether it's through the word, after you pray, you search the scriptures, see what God has to say about it. Listen into your heart, but trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean into your own understanding. And he will direct you. He will show you what to do. He'll lead you to what to do. And some of you may walk away today mad at me for telling you to tithe. I want to tell you something. I have never met anyone in 40 years of being a Christian, following the Lord. I've never met anyone in 40 years and 30 plus years of preaching. I've never met anyone who started tithing and later on regretted it. Not even one. Not even one. Because that's God's strategy. It's a divine strategy. See? So this message today is not about money. It's about trust. You either do or you don't. There's some cards in your bulletin there that are written out. And I'd like you to pull that out. I'm not asking you for commitment. Give me one second here. On that, you see some questions. God has spoken to me today about, what has he spoken to you about today? Secondly, God is challenging me to trust him in something. Certainly tithe and so forth, but probably more than that, much more. I'd like you to take the time right now to get a pen out. Because you need to do it now while you're paying attention. And just write out the first impression. Write it on the card. I don't want a name. Not asking you for a commitment. No, that's between you and God. If you notice here, we don't even take up an offering. It's just boxes there you give when you want to give. So it's nothing about that. Okay. But I want you to go ahead, take 30 seconds right now. Would you do that? Do it. Just do it. Just for me, would you just do it? Just take the card out and write something in. Just do it. You need a card, brother? When you hear truth, when you hear scripture, when you hear the word of God, you should walk away with a takeaway. In other words, there ought to be something that you take away that you know God is challenging you on. He's always challenging you to the next level of trust. If you're tithing, that's great. But what's the next level? What's the next thing God's leading you to trust in? What is it? He's leading you to trust him in something. It's vital that we understand what that is.
I know my voice sounds a little odd, but Pastor was talking about trust. And honestly, it boils down to, do we believe that God loves us? Because if you believe that he loves you, then you know he's going to take care of you. And you can trust him if he says 10%, if he says 50%, it doesn't matter. Whatever God says, If you know that he loves you, and he does, then you can trust him. So just like I know my husband loves me, so I can trust him. Even when it doesn't make sense to me, I can trust him. So if you know that your father loves you, and he really, really does, then you can trust him. He will provide for you. He will. We were just teenagers when we were first married, 17 and 19, and we had lived on PFC pay. Now, I know some of you military people know what PFC pay is, private first class in the Marine Corps, little bitty amount of money. But I want you to know, we tithed, and we were kids. We started to tithe because we knew as young babies in Christ that that was something God wanted us to do. And we did. And he has never, never, never failed us. He has always provided for us. Always. Always. So I'm just here as a testimony. I mean, I'm going to stand here as a living example of the faithfulness of God and of his great love for you. So I just wanted to say that to you this morning.
Altar workers, would you come on up, please? And give me just a couple more minutes. Altar workers, go ahead and come in place. Take this card. You said, God has spoken to me today about... It'd be a shame if that was a blank. You come to church, and you can't think of one thing that you know the Lord's been speaking to you about. That'd be a shame. But he's spoken to you about something. And you need to remember it, because the devil steals those things from your mind. And then God's challenging me to trust him in something. What is it? Today's all about trust. Do we trust him? Don't write your name on it, but I'm going to ask you to do something, as I think it's important to act upon the word. And I'm going to ask you in a moment at the altar time to, once you've wrote something in there, then I'm going to ask you to come up here to the front. And if you're able to kneel, kneel, but commit it to God. Now, Lord, I'm trusting you as of this day and this hour for this. Or you're challenging me to do. I know it in my heart, and I'm remembering this day. Now, you keep the card. Don't leave it up here. Take the card with you. But I think you need to respond physically. Once you've prayed about it, you trust him and walk away knowing I'm trusting God now. And then what's my next act of obedience, God? What's my next act of obedience, my next step? The people getting baptized this morning, they took their first baby step of obedience to be baptized. That's a wonderful thing. And then I told them, now you need to ask God, what's your next step? And your next, and your next. And that's what you need to be asking God yourself. Have you ever trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and received the forgiveness of your sins and his gift of righteousness as a gift? That's called grace. Have you ever done that? If you've never done that, you can receive that by faith. Trust right now. What does God say in his word? Here's the promise. He says, if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's alive right now, and he is hearing and watching everything, and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, God said you'll be saved. That's a promise. I've never known him to fail that promise.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped move you closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources or If you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at www.gracetab.org.